Hanukkah celebrates two things. One is the military victory over the Yavanim, even though it wasn't finished at Hanukkah time. There were many battles after that, but the major ability to be able to function normally again without the Greeks over us already was at Hanukkah time. And the fact that the miracle happened with the oil, that they found oil to rededicate the menorah, and it was able to burn 8 days, even though it was only 1 day's worth. And those two miracles, the miracle of the victory and the miracle of the oil, are what Hanukkah is all about. And it's called Hanukkah both because of the idea of chinuch, of rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. It also, what's it called, hints to the fact that in the Midbar, the Mishkan was finished on Chaf Hei Kislev, even though it wasn't actually erected and dedicated till Nisan, but already was finished on, in Kislev. And in addition, Chanukah is Chanu Chaf Hei, that they rested from their enemies on the 25th, which represents the victory, the miracle of the victory. The Rambam says that Hanukkah achieved two things. It rededicated the Beis HaMikdash and gave us control over it rather than the Greeks. And the Malchus Yisrael, the monarchy, extended another 200 years till the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which was also a benefit for Klal Yisrael. Hanukkah, unlike Purim, is more of a spiritual yontif. Purim is more physical, eating, drinking, and so on. Because Purim, we were saved physically. And Hanukkah, we were saved spiritually. The Yavanim weren't interested in killing us or whatever. They're interested only in converting us. So here was a spiritual victory. There was a physical victory. Because of that, there's no real mitzvah to have sudas on Hanukkah. It's not like Purim. There's a Purim suda. Hanukkah, you don't have to have any special meals. But since there are other aspects of Hanukkah, like the rededication of the Mikdash and the finishing of the Mishkan, so there is somewhat of a mitzvah to have Hanukkah parties and meals. But the main thing that makes it a Sudas mitzvah is that you recount the miracles and you sing Zmiros in praise of the Rabbanu Shalom. That makes the meal into a Sudas mitzvah. And Purim, just the meal itself is a Sudas mitzvah, even if you don't do anything. There's also a minig to eat cheese products, milk products on Hanukkah, because the mice of Yehudis, there's two different mice with two different Yehudises probably. One was a mice with a woman that I think was an almana. And she went and seduced the one of the Greek generals and got him drunk and then cut off his head, just like Yael did to Sisera. And that helped to turn the tide of the battle in the favor of the Yidden. And there's another mice with the Yehudis, who was the sister of Yehuda Maccabee. And the Greeks had, one of the decrees of the Greeks was that any woman who got married, the first marriage, so she was taken to the Greek ruler of that area and had to have relations with him before she would live with her husband. That was one of the Greek decrees. And they did this to defile the whole idea of marriage. And because it was pikuach nefesh, and a woman is allowed to give in to adultery, incest, or whatever, at the pain of death, even though a man is not, right? Even though normally we say that Gili Arayis is Yoharig Val Yavar, but since a woman is Karka Olam, the simplest way of understanding that is they can force her to do the Avera and kill her. She is passive. And therefore, what's it called, she's allowed to save her life by giving into the Avera, since her part is only a passive part. And what's it called? That was the minig. The minig was to get married and then to bring the kala to the Greek general and then to continue on with the Sheva Brachas and marriage. because it was pikuach nefesh, and they didn't stop marrying because you can't stop living a normal life either. So when her turn came to get married, so they were ready to, now we take the break, you know, not for reading the ksuba, for taking the kala to the Greek general. So she got up on a table and she undressed publicly. And her brothers were ready to kill her because of the immodesty. And she said, "You're ready to kill me for being immodest, but you're ready to take me to the Greek general and give in to that?" Obviously she did it to, right, make a point. And they realized that they were wrong and that they should do something about it. So they took her, and then they said that they wanted to, meet with the Greek general privately, right, to give him a lot of covet or whatever, that, you know, their sister was from the royal family of the Jewish people, the Kohen Gadol's family, right, and they wanted to show him a real amount of covet, that the whole family was going to come, and they got in privately and killed him. And that started one of the rebellion of Yehuda Maccabee, started with that, or continued on, intensified with that. There's no connection with cheese there. So that's a connection with the fact that there's two Maisim of Yehudis, right? Now, it could be that when they went in to give him the honor, so they all wanted to have a family picture together. And then they all said, "Say cheese," and that was, no, that is nothing. That's the connection with Hanukkah and Purim. What the intention of that was, you picked up very nicely, there was nothing to do with cheese. The connection was that Rabbi Eider here seems to have mixed the two stories together, okay? Because he says, recall the miracle which occurred with dairy foods, which Yehudis fed the enemy ruler. There was an evil decree that every betrothed woman prior to her wedding was required to live with the Greek governor. Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, who is, Yehuda Maccabee's Matisyo ben Yochanan. Well, really, it's not. He was Matisyo's sister, really, but that's not the case either. Fed him cheese until he was very thirsty, seemingly when they took her to him. That's not true. There's two separate maisim, and he's mixing two things together. One had to do with the Greek general Aliporno, right? I think that was his name, or Bagris, one of the two. And she it wasn't a woman who was getting married. It was an almana who did this, and her name was Yehudis. And there was a separate maisa that I just told you now that's brought in the Midrashim of Hanukkah. That was Yehudis, who was from the family of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, right? And there in that medrash, she was Yehuda Maccabee's sister, and this maisa that I told you. So the maisa with the cheese is a different maisa completely, with a different Yehudis. The maisa that with the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the granddaughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, right, was a separate maisa, nothing to do with cheese. But he seems to mix the two together, which I don't think is right. Okay. In any case, Yochanan is not allowed to fast, except for a tainus chalom, which you're allowed to fast even on Shabbos. We don't say Tachnun on Chanukah, nor Tzidkos Chotzedek, nor Lam Natzeach. And you're allowed to work on Chanukah, except women have a custom, which is a custom that is roy to keep, that during the initial half hour that the candles are lit, that they don't do work that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, with the exception of cooking, baking, or whatever. That is okay. House cleaning and washing clothing or whatever, that they don't do during the half hour. What else? The main mitzvahs of Chanukah are Hallel, and we say Hallel every day, and the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeros. And they also added into davening a remembrance of Chanukah al HaNisim. But that, if you miss al HaNisim, and you said already the Shem Hashem in the Bracha Tov Shimcha, you don't go back. But some people have the minigin Elokai Netzor to add al HaNisim in Elokai Netzor before you say Yul Ratzonim Refi.
Pirsum Hanes isn't a mitzvah on its own, it's only part of Hadlakat Ner.
What?
Pirsum Hanes isn't a mitzvah mipnei atzmo, it's only a
chelek. No,
it's a
chelek of Hadlakas Haner. There's no mitzvah Pirsum Hanes except through the candles. Right, okay. So now we'll speak mostly about the mitzvah of the candles. Okay. So first of all, from the main halacha, you're only required to light one candle every night, not more than one candle, and one candle for the whole household. That is the basic mitzvah. Every household has to have one candle burning for 8 days. Each day, light a candle. The Rabbanan also made it that there could be a Mahadran. Here's where the Mahadran comes, right? The Mahadran way of doing it, the more proper way, right, better way of doing it, is that you have one menorah per household, but every night you add another candle. Then there's a Mahadran min ha-Mahadran, an extra special way of doing it, that you have a separate menorah for each person in the family. Okay. Now there are two opinions what that means. One opinion is that these two things are independent of each other. Either you have a menorah for each person in the family, right? Either you have candles for the number of people in the family, or you have candles for the number of days. But it's all talking about one person lighting it. One person either lights, if he has, let's say, 10 people in his family. So either he lights 10 candles the first night, or he lights one candle the first night. And the third night, either he lights 3 candles, or he lights 10 candles. Right? It's either candles per people, or candles per days. That's one opinion. Another opinion of what this means is that they are two separate things. Meaning, you light candles per night, and in addition, everybody lights candles. Everybody in the household lights their own candles, and they also light per night. So our minig is the second way, and therefore we light menorahs for every child and every adult who is bar mitzvah or under, but age of chinuch. Okay, and each one of them lights per night the number of candles for that night. And we go up, there's another opinion in the Gemara Beis Shammai, that you go down. You start with 8, 7, 6, 5, and the last day is 1. And we have the Halacha like Beis Hillel that we go 1 to 8. Girls, some hold, are not in this hiddur. They don't have to light as separate members of the household. If there's a father or somebody lighting, then they don't light separately. And others have the minhag that this applies to girls too. Some say the reason why it doesn't apply to girls is because since we light outside and they used to light outside, that's called in chutzlars, they light inside, it wasn't tzniyistik for the girls stand around with the men and light candles outside. But even though we light outside, there are still those who have the minhag that girls light, and probably it's preferable that if one person lights outside, most of the other time they light inside by the window, the girls in the family should light inside by the windows, and not outside. If a girl alone, right, who has a woman has her own house, no husband, and there's nobody home except and everybody is living is what's away on a vacation somewhere else or whatever, and the only one home is a woman has to light candles. There's no shy of that. She's the woman of the house. We're talking now only about the Mahadrin of more than just the Balabais lighting. Other people lighting, there's a custom that the girls who are chinuch age or above and even bas mitzvah don't light. But either minig is acceptable, whatever your minig was, that's what you should do. If you had no specific minig, you can choose either one. But again, if girls are going to light, it's preferable they light inside. The only exception to that is the wife. The wife, under all circumstances, if the husband is lighting, doesn't light herself. That's the minig. A woman is considered part of her husband, and she doesn't have a separate menorah for herself. Okay.
If the husband's away.
What?
The husband's away, and
the husband's away. All right, we'll get that. One thing at a time. That's the amount of candles and the amount of people who light. Okay, the oil. It's preferable to use olive oil. After olive oil, some hold that candles are even preferable over other oils. The paraffin candles burn very nicely and they look nice. And if you use candles as an inion, to use bigger candles if you can. With oil, there's no inion dafka to use more oil, more than the time that you have to have the menorah burning, which we'll see in a little while. And again, olive oil, you can use olive oil that does not have a great hechsher, right? It should have some hechsher. It shouldn't be osur b'hanoah, that shouldn't be basar b'cholov or something like that, right? Or have orla in it or something. But if there is even a minimal hechsher, should be okay. And even olive oil that is not edible is also kosher, since using olive oil is only a hiddur itself. It's a chumrah. So to be machmir and a chumrah of being careful to only use edible oil, right, and not the oil that's only lama'or, that's very bitter or whatever, it doesn't seem like it's necessary. You want to be extra machmir, there's a reason to use edible oil. But it's not necessary if the price is obviously very, very different. If you can't afford to buy the more expensive oil, you can buy the oil that's not for eating. A non-Jew gave it to you? Yeah, but you have to know that what's it called? Orla applies even in Eretz Yisrael, even to non-Jewish things. Orla is a
All
bigger
the
problem.
difference from the first years?
3 years,
Also
right?
going to come from.
Sometimes you retransplant trees, replant them, or whatever. It's possible that it could be orla. Not probable, but possible. Okay. Again, if you don't have olive oil, then what's it called? Most people then use wax candles. You should use one or the other. Shouldn't mix some candles and some oil, or they're all candles or all oil
In the same law.
in the same menorah. Electric gas is not kosher for being yotzei the mitzvah. The wicks can be made from cotton and or linen or wool. But cotton is usually what's used today. And you don't have to change the wicks every night, right? Even though the hiddur mitzvah is preferable, but you can use the wicks over and over again if you want to. The candles should be in a way that you can see how many candles there are for that night. Shouldn't be staggered or whatever, or it looks like two menorahs, or you can't see all the candles. They're in a circle or something where you can't readily see what they are. But they don't have to be mamish in a straight line 100%. One shouldn't be bigger or higher than the other. It should be the same height. But again, as long as when you look at it, you can see it's one menorah, and you can discern how many candles there are as the fits that night, that's good enough. Yeah.
You know that they have to be attached. If somebody just puts like cups out, or would that be attached
Okay.
to a physical unit?
Pashtus, it does not have to be attached. Right? You can have even like the schnapps glasses or whatever put down. But there is an opinion that it has to be part of a menorah that is attached, and therefore preferably should have a menorah. Also, the menorah should be, what's it called, something that's nice and pretty. Silver or gold is preferable, obviously. If you can't afford that, then at least something that looks nice. A menorah that's made of earthenware that's not glazed. Okay? Plain, ordinary pottery. Once you use it once, it gets disgusting. So you can't use that more than once. You can use it once and then get a new one the next night or whatever. Okay, the menorah, whatever you use to hold the oil, has to be able to stand on itself, by itself, not to be propped up in order to stand. Okay, well, this is not going to be nice. Aside from the candles that you have to have for each night, there also has to be a shamas for each menorah. Each menorah should have a separate shamas, and the purpose of the shamas is you're not allowed to use the light of the menorah for anything, And this way, if you'll come to use the light, you'll be using the light of the Shamas and not the light of the other candles. Okay, time for lighting. There are two different opinions, when's the proper time for lighting, and then you'll understand why we preferably do what we do. The Rambam holds that the time for lighting is at Shkia Sachama, sunset. That's when you light. And it has to burn a half an hour after sunset, and that's it. That's the mitzvah. The other Rishonim learn that the proper time for lighting is at the Seis HaKochav, when the stars come out, which is anywhere here in Eretz Yisrael about 20 minutes after sunset is Seis HaKochavim, the earliest Seis HaKochavim, to up to 45 minutes or 72 minutes, according to Rabbeinu Tam, after what we call sunset. So, again, some hold there, and it should burn half an hour after that. Okay. So, if you light within the half hour after the time that begins lighting, you also fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, the ideal time to light, where you are Yotze everybody, is to light about 20 minutes after sunset. So you're within the half hour of sunset and you fulfill the Rambam's Shita, because you're lighting it within a half an hour of sunset. It's also the earliest Seis HaKochavim, right? Even though Seis HaKochavim is about 16, 17 minutes, but 20 minutes, according to everybody, is already the earliest Seis HaKochavim. So your Yotze lighting it at the beginning of when the stars come out, according to some opinions, but then it should burn more than a half an hour, because according to the opinions that you don't have to light it by when the stars come out, it has to burn a half an hour after the stars come out. So it should burn for what's it called, for a half an hour after what normal sunset would be, and what normal Seis HaKochavim with the Chumra. And that is about 40 minutes, 35 to 40 minutes here in Eretz Yisrael after Shkia. So figure it out. If you're lighting 20 minutes after Shkia, and it has to burn till about 35 minutes after what's it called, Shkia, so it has to burn a half an hour after 35 minutes after Shkia, because that's when Seis HaKochavim starts, at 35 minutes. It has to burn another half hour. So you're going to need... what's it called? You're starting at 20 minutes after Shkia, so you have another 15 minutes till the 35, plus another 30 is 45 minutes, so you should make sure that it's going to burn 45 minutes. If you light 20 minutes after Shkia and make sure that it burns 45 minutes, that's the ideal time to light. In Yerushalayim, they follow the Gra, who passes like the Rambam, and that you light by Shkia. They don't have any of these kunts, and they light by Shkia and finished. But we don't hold like the Gra in everything, or surely not like the Rambam in everything. And therefore, we try to be Yotze, both opinions. So, okay, some people, however, we don't paskin like the Rambam, and therefore they light at Seis HaKochavim. They light 35 minutes after Shkia, and burns a half an hour after that. If you only have candles that will burn a half an hour, then that's when you should light. You shouldn't light before 35 minutes after Shkia, and then you should light it, and it should burn half an hour. So if you have smaller candles that will only burn a half an hour and won't burn 45 minutes, then you shouldn't light them earlier, like I'm saying. You should light them bedafka 35 minutes after Shkia, and they'll burn, what's it called, for a half an hour. Now, Shkia is about 5-something, I don't remember what the...
440.
440. So 5 o'clock would be the 20 minutes, and then it should burn until 5:45. If you only have half an hour candles, then you should light at 20 minutes is 5 o'clock, and then another 15 minutes, about 5:15, and it should burn until a quarter to 6.
So do kids or girls that are lighting candles,
yeah,
they
should light a little bit later, yeah.
Later.
They should light, again, they should light around 5:15. Okay. And by the time everybody lights, so they're lighting at the tail end of the one who's lighting earlier. Okay. Okay, now, till when can you light candles? So, Me'ikar Hadin, when you light outside, in the time of Chazal, people were, after that half an hour, there weren't people walking around anymore, and there was very little Pirsumei Nisa. So you couldn't light after that. After the half an hour, right, they passed by, you couldn't light anymore. You could light, but not with a brach anymore. So, today, however, most places there are people around even way after that, into the night, aside from the fact that many people light inside tonight, not outside. And inside, the Pirsumei Nisa is not for the people working around outside, it's mainly for the people in the house. And people in the house are around all the time. So therefore, today, whether you light inside or outside, you can light past the half an hour after Shkia or after Tzeis, right? But if you're lighting outside, it should be before the time that people are mostly not walking around outside. And in the past, we said, I don't know, the store closed at 9, 10 o'clock, something like that. Anybody know when the store closes? 9 o'clock? 9? Okay. So I would say around that, once the store is closed, there's not a lot of people walking around the paths over here. What? Tonight? Yeah, but since people get in the habit of walking around for other things, Mestama, till 9 o'clock, Mestama, you can light with a bracha outside without any problem.
Now, does bad weather on a particular day change that, when you know people aren't going to be wandering out in the rain?
No, people dash out for things also if they need to. They have this, such a thing called umbrellas and rain hats.
If
you're
in a place like Batiyo, there's night seder, there's plenty of things going on around, you know, way afterwards.
If there is, again, I don't know what, you know, again, that a lot of people are around. I don't know how many people are night seder. It's a miyut of people. But the store and going to people's houses or whatever, again, 9, 10 o'clock, I don't know exactly, but somewhere around there. Past that, past 10 o'clock for sure, there are very few people walking the streets of Matityahu. And therefore, if you're going to light after that, you should light inside. If you want to make a bracha, shouldn't light outside.
But inside you also, you light by the window. It's not just
That's just an extra hider. The main thing of lighting inside is for the people inside, not for the people outside. If you're doing it for the people outside, you should light outside. The reason people light inside, from the Gemara, the halacha is to light by the door outside. Okay? And the main thing is for the outside people. But there were times when that was dangerous to do, because the goyim, what's it called, there was a danger to light outside. It was also, there was a danger they'd steal the menorah. And also in Chutz La'aretz, the weather is not good during this time. It's very hard to light outside. And therefore, the Rabbanan said that the takana changed and you're allowed to light inside. There's even an opinion that says you're not allowed to light outside anymore because they changed the takana. It became inside. But that nobody holds of. So you still are allowed, especially in Eretz Yisrael. Here, we're not afraid of goyim, whatever, unless maybe they see it and we'll shoot Qassam missiles here. But otherwise, we're not afraid of the goyim taking the menorah or whatever, not at least in most of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the minig in Eretz Yisrael, not by everybody, but by many people, is to light outside. And if you can do that, that's preferable. If you light outside, you obviously have to take in consideration the wind. So they light in glass boxes, where that protects it from the wind. The okay, now we'll get to that. We'll definitely talk. Okay. Okay. So that's time for lighting. Now, where do you put the menorah? So, if you're lighting outside, let's start with that. If you're lighting outside, it's very clear where you put the menorah. You put it on the door that opens to the most frequented street that passes your house. Right? It doesn't make a difference if your front door, your back door, your side door, whichever one opens to a more frequented area. You put it on the left side of the door if there's a mezuzah on that door. If there is no mezuzah on that door, because it doesn't need a mezuzah for whatever reason, then you put it on the right side of the door. Within a tefach, within 3 to 4 inches of the doorway. Okay? The candle should be within 3 to 4 inches of the doorway. And the flames should be higher than 10 tefachim off the ground, which is about 40 inches, 30 inches, 30 to 40 inches off the ground. And they should be less than what's it called, 1 second, yeah. No, there should be more than 3 tefachim, less than 10 tefachim, yeah? More higher than 9 to 12 inches off the ground and less than less than 40 inches off the ground. The lights, not the menorah. The reason for that is that's not the place where you usually put things to light up things. They put it much higher, right? And lower, you don't get to see it. So that's where it should be. Now, if you're putting it outside, it should be on something that raises it less than 10 tvachim, but more than 3 tvachim. Okay. And again, it's not the menorah, that's the flames. Okay. Now, if you have a door that opens into a patio, so then there are two opinions. One opinion, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, you light it on the door to the patio that opens into the street, not the door to your house that opens into the patio. The Chazon Ish held that our chatzeros, our patios, aren't considered a chatzer, and you put the menorah by your house. Now, what you should do is the following. If you have like a pergola that opens into a, and it has, you know, mechitzes and a doorway or whatever, then you should do like the Shulchan Aruch says and put it at the end of your porch. Your porch is enclosed at the doorway to your porch towards the public thoroughfare. If your patio is not enclosed, there are no walls, there's no doorway, like my back patios, very low walls or whatever, there, even though there are different opinions, there it seems like you should put it by the door, like the Chazon Ish, and since anyway it's going to open into the Rishus HaRavim anyway, and there's no real doorway to the Chotzer, right? It's not really a Pesach, it's just very low walls, so that for sure doesn't have a din of a Pesach HaChotzer, so you put it there by the doorway of the house. If you have a Shvil that leads from your house, some people you say you should